Sorry, just waiting for the recorder to start. The stupid new one in Skype takes a minute.
I was hearing dings. Okay.
Have you guys ever been in a position where you had to consider potentially going like on a welfare beyond unemployment? You know, I know that's kind of more of a standard thing, but like really like Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy situation.
I don't think I ever have. I think even unemployment, I somehow got screwed. The one time I could have collected unemployment, like the state of Rhode Island screwed me out of that through some like, they're like, well, because you got fired like 2 weeks before you're going to college and you're telling us you can't actually get another job, we're not going to give you unemployment kind of deal. But I've never been in a position where like, I could have. I just never tried, like, food stamps or something. I probably could have gotten food stamps at some point, sadly.
Now? I mean, like, this pandemic destroyed my small business.
Right.
Like, absolutely destroyed my small business. So, and any hope of it coming back to normal is every time the stupid fucking governments here shut more shit down. Now, I don't know.
It was funny. Depressing. I was going to leave it there, you know?
Yeah, it's great.
Season 2, Episode 3, Dennis and Dee Go on Welfare.
All right, Episode 10, Season 2, Episode 3, Dennis and Dee Go on Welfare. JT, Josh.
Hi.
Howdy.
Howdy. 4:30 p.m. on a Wednesday. Frank wants Dennis and Dee to lay some grout in the bar. So we're carrying over from last episode where Frank is in charge of the bar. And he wants his kids to learn some responsibility, lay some grout. Max says they're being babies.
Mm-hmm.
And Dee responds with, why don't you go work for your dad? Which Max says, my dad's a meth dealer.
Oh, daddy's a drug dealer.
My daddy used to give hot shots to prostitutes. Josh,
I like that he just went with it. Like, he's like, what? Okay.
Josh, is this a nice little seed here about Max's upbringing?
Yes. Oh, so... I'm glad you mentioned that. I think just like with the last episode, in this first couple minutes, it's like there's so much information that's happening. Like Mac, one, what's going on with his father? Perfect seed that they, spoiler alert, they end up showing us is true, because why would it not be true? But then also the fact that Mac cares a little bit more later on, but. Like I said, here, he's just totally comfortable with the fact that that's his reality. And why should it bother him?
Hmm. I guess it shouldn't. It's just a thing.
Dennis, when it's your life, it shouldn't bother you.
No, he's just a meth dealer. My dad's a meth dealer.
Right.
That's it. It's just like that's what he was and that's what he is.
That's what he is. And that's why I am the way I am. Dennis and Dilo are leaving the bar because they have better things to do. Dennis says, Dee and I have a little something we like to call goals. Dee says they have dreams and they're going to follow them. Max says they're going to be nothing without the bar. And Dennis goes, don't worry about us, Mac. We'll be just fine. Cut to the title card. Dennis and Dee go on welfare. JT, is this kind of the first sign that they're really starting to use the titles as punchlines to jokes?
Yeah, I think so. Because early on, it really was just kind of setting up what the story was going to be. This was great because yes, you think Dennis has some grand plan and then it clues you in right away and what the hell's going to happen. So they're working it in. It's almost like the evolution of Seinfeld with the stand-up comedy
right.
Early on where it's just like a stand-up and then eventually kind of blended more into the episode. Feels that way.
Yep. So we move to Dee's apartment. Dennis is like, what are your dreams? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? Josh, what were your childhood dreams?
So I wanted to be a paleontologist first. Because
is that
a dinosaur person? It's yes. Well, not just dinosaurs, but skeletons and bones in general, fossils. So that's what I wanted to be, but because of the dinosaurs, you know, That was like, they really got me in. I'm like, I am willing to dust away dirt for the rest of my life if I can put together, if I can find a dinosaur bone.
Was it like the appeal of handling animal bones that like got you into this?
So as I know now, it's because I had a wild imagination and I was like, dinosaurs. And I was always just thinking about dinosaurs and like, what if a dinosaur was in front of me kind of deal, you know? And I'd never seen any, like, I hadn't been to like a good natural history museum. So it's like, I always wanted to just see those skeletons. So I probably would have, I obviously did not become a paleontologist. Sorry, guys. I know everyone was like, what does Josh do? It's not paleontology. But I think that just went away when I realized what it actually was going to entail, and I wasn't really going to ever see a dinosaur.
JT, what were your childhood dreams?
Definitely to be a sports announcer.
Hmm.
There was a brief period where I wanted to be a wrestler. I think, you know, that was everyone, but that was into wrestling. But yeah, I would say I wanted to like, yeah, be a big time sports announcer.
Did you ever follow it?
No, not really. A little bit. I mean, I went to school for broadcasting, so I did a lot of that, and then tried to get a little bit into that side. Ended up more like behind the scenes production, and then just ended up being more stuff like this was my creative outlet for that.
Right. Fair enough. I wanted to be a National Hockey League referee.
Was my You're dream. Almost.
Well, I, you know, when I stopped originally, I refereed from the time I was 12 to 18 or 19. And when I stopped, I was three steps from it in terms of like the grades. But I couldn't, I had to age up, which right. was the big, like, I had to be like 25 to get to the next step. And that seemed very far away. And I wanted to go to theater school, which was quite a decision. All right. D is now at her apartment signing them up for unemployment. And Dennis is like, no, that's for deadbeats. And D's like, we should, D thinks she should give acting another try.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis is like, Dennis supports it, but not before saying, see, the old Dennis would have said that your sad little acting ship sailed a decade ago. It's pathetic. It's not my place to kill your pipe dream. He then says he wants to go on to become more successful than their parents. D wants to shove it in their faces. Dennis wants to make them eat shit. JT, were you surprised how quickly this went from them being like hopeful about the future to vengeful?
I don't think they were ever actually hopeful. I think in the back of their minds, they both were vengeful, and that just comes out finally there. I also love how new Dennis is still giving the backhanded comments to D, yeah. trying to pretend that he's being supportive, but really just shitting on her.
Yeah. Yeah, he calls it a sad little acting ship, pathetic, and a pipe dream in a sentence.
Perfect, Dennis.
It's perfect. They get a beep, and they find that they qualify for $400 a week, which is more than they make at the bar.
That's awesome. And it's like such an encapsulation of the American dream and the current American way of life that it's more profitable to be unemployed than it is to work.
Right. And right away, they're like, new plan, we go on unemployment. And they go. They vow to focus and keep their nose to the grindstone. We cut to Mac and Charlie, who are trying to lift a pool table. And Charlie's got his end up, but Mac can't budge his end off the ground. Charlie is like, why? Which is a great reaction to what's happening. Charlie's like, are you lifting with your back? You have to jerk your back up and snap it. Josh, could he be more wrong?
No. I would say there's no way that he could be more wrong about the mechanics of lifting things.
Yeah, it's completely wrong. Lift with your legs, not your back.
Yeah. And right. And what's wrong with Mac? He's just weak?
Oh, he's definitely weak. He's a fake tough guy. That's his thing. No upper body strength, no lower body strength. He's just a husk at this point. I love him trying to explain, though, because it's classic Mac. All the balls roll to his side of the table, so that's added extra weight on his end.
Well, and Charlie kind of shits on it, but, like, there's probably some truth to it, right, which is strange, right. Like, because Charlie's got his end up. Frank comes in. He wants to know what all the ruckus is. And Mac is like, you got to stop bossing us around. And he goes, poor Charlie's broken. Charlie's like, yes, I'm broken. Frank thinks they need a father figure. But Charlie doesn't want a father figure. We cut now to what I think is potentially one of the best scenes in all of Sunny. Just a Friend is blaring from the radio.
Yes.
And Dennis and Dee are drinking out of bags on their stoop, singing along to the song. But Dennis is also criticizing her singing. JT, this is the perfect song for this moment, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't describe their moment, but it's perfect, like, old school, what they would have listened to in high school for rap. Yep. Thinking that this is what they should be listening to while sitting on the stoop drinking 40s. Yes, and it's such a banger that it made perfect sense. Like, as soon as that they cut and it was mid-song, it was, like, beautiful. I was all in. Dee's got the Jesus chain on, which is great.
Giant Jesus chain.
But Dennis has his, he's got his cuff rolled up.
Yes, yep.
Okay, and that, it was that moment that I went, how racist are they being? Like, oh, on a level, like, how racist is it? Like, they're like, I'm on unemployment, not even welfare, and I'm just going to drink and roll, for no reason, roll my cuff up.
See, this doesn't even register to me as racist. Why? Why is it racist?
Because they're going to certain tropes, we'll say, about in America, about people that just live off the government money and drink all day. So they wouldn't have done that if they didn't go with the Jesus chain or the cuff up. It wouldn't have read as bad, but because I feel like they dipped into that territory, it's like they were making certain signals that kind of were like, oh, okay.
But is that not a poverty thing as opposed to a racial thing?
I don't think it's as poverty thing. I mean, a little bit, but in West Warwick, where I grew up, there's a lot of poor people that hang out there, and it's a different kind of, it's not like that kind of poor. It's not like all poor people are going to go with those signifiers. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's definitely got a component there. Maybe I'm racist for seeing it, but maybe it's, I don't know. I was triggered.
Again? I didn't catch the cuff because I guess it was meaningless to me. But I kind of associated the Jesus chain with, like, someone who doesn't have money spending money on something outlandish.
Yeah, that's
what it is.
That's why I took the chain. The rolled up pants is, I just think he thought that's what rappers do. Right.
Yeah. Again, but that's where you get into that weird region, because it's like, so let's back up there. How many rappers look like you, Dennis? You know, like, there's only at that time, like, two.
But there are tons of.
Okay, I know.
I think it's just like a gang thing. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
What I'm saying is, we just got to move on from that, because I immediately thought it, but that was my cringe moment, was like that part, you know, just kind of, I was like, they could have made them represent what they're trying to represent a little bit differently, at least where it would look like now, it wouldn't be as glaring now. I think then I didn't even notice it. That makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I find there's such a, I mean, I don't know if it's a poor thing, but there is a whole swath of people of every ethnicity that seeks to emulate hip hop culture.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's just what he thought a rapper or a hip hop guy would do. No different than, you know, Eddie Laborio when I was in seventh grade walking around with his jean shorts hanging off his ass and a big basketball jersey, right? I mean, just trying to emulate that culture, you know.
I agree. And it made for a good scene, especially when Mac rolls up to them. Because I like, Mac plays a straight man when he comes in, which is, Mac as a straight man is that rare? Or is that like
are you trying to move away from this uncomfortable conversation?
What I'm saying is, I think you guys are right, but I think that it's just like the conversation they have a little bit later when Mac and Charlie are walking into the welfare office about, again, context of saying slavery in America versus slavery in general, you know, like, that it's different because of America, if that makes sense. That's why I looked at it a little bit differently. It's hard to separate, especially the past couple of years, you know, like the conversations that I've had, it's kind of hard to like separate that when you see white people doing things that kind of make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, at least for me.
So you're saying that white people shouldn't celebrate black culture?
What I'm saying is if they had dreads, it would have been the same thing. If there was like a hippie guy with dreads, it'd be like, all right, come on, guys.
Well, you're right. You're right. Max showing up and being the straight man is pretty awesome. Dennis says they're living the dream. And unemployment's great because they have big plans. Dennis is going to be a veterinarian. And Dee goes, I'm moving to New York to be on Broadway. What? The what destroyed me. Mac accuses them of being drunk at 1 p.m. And here's where we see the new watch, the Jesus chain. Mac wants them to come back to the bar because he's busting his ass. And they mock him again. They're like, oh, you're working hard? Yeah, you're working hard. Josh, how big a bitch is Mac being here?
On a scale of Mac, I don't think he's being as big of a bitch. But I think because I feel like he might have already been a bigger bitch at some point that we've seen, like, than he is being now. But it's actually kind of weird to see Mac like actually say to them, the reason why I want you to come back is because I'm having to work too hard.
I'm having to work.
Yeah. Like I feel like that's very not Mac like. He would try to like play it off as like something else.
Right. It's easy for him. You know, they don't know what they're missing out on instead of being jealous, instead of outwardly being jealous versus subtly being jealous.
I'm just surprised how comfortable you are with the word bitch, considering all that's happened in the last couple of years.
I know. And me too. I mean, a small little liberal screamed at the sky in my chest, but I kept him down.
Well, they also described that once unemployment runs out, they're going to go on welfare. Mac starts to explain to them why that's wrong, and instead they just turn up Bismarcky and continue to sing at him. Classic scene. At the bar, Charlie's signing some documents, and we found out that Frank is hiding his money in Charlie's account so Barbara can't get it. Mm-hmm. Charlie likes it because it's shady. Frank promises he'll be handsomely rewarded if he keeps his hands off. Charlie wants to know what the VIG is. Now, did this register with you, JT?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's basically the juice that the house gets on a bet, right? So what's the cut that he would get for doing this? He has no clue what it means. He's just heard it in passing, I'm sure. But that's the intent of what the idea is.
But Josh, is VIG the right word?
See, I don't know, because to me, VIG is just like almost like a catchphrase I would hear. Like, it's like I probably never knew what it was until Justin just explained it. But I was like, oh, yeah, that's a thing you would say if you were going to try to be a mob guy or something.
Yeah, know? He's trying to get it means just like, right, the house is guaranteeing a profit. So what is Charlie's guaranteed profit in this shambles? Right? Like, is he guaranteed 2% no matter what happens, you know? But again, I think it's just a word he's heard in passing and throws it out there in general.
Classic Charlie-ness.
Yes.
Josh, does it bother you at all that you went right to mob guy in referencing JT's knowledge?
I'm from Rhode Island. I don't think there's any way to separate that. Plus, I talk to my dad like once a week, and my dad growing up in an Italian neighborhood, I'll say it. Now, he'll like go off about like the mob, like, for not like he'll be like, yeah, but we were growing up. And so that's the first thing I think of is just like wise guys in the mob from Rhode Island that go to the St. Mary's Festival.
Speaking of the opposite of wise guys, Mac comes in with, hey-o, what's up, bitches? This is basically Mac's catchphrase. And he's got an idea. He pitches the Work for Welfare program to Frank and Charlie, which would be they're fine people that don't have jobs. The government subsidizes the wages. And they want to bring in people, pay them nothing to do all the work. And Frank is a bit concerned. He says, we have to make sure if we're going to do something like this, we have to make sure that we don't abuse anybody. And they're vowing to treat it with respect. Mac is like, respect is number one. And I love that. I feel like this was not in the script because Mac goes, respect is number one. And Charlie goes, in almost every game. That felt like such an improv. Mac is gesturing inward respect and plight, and Charlie's trying to follow him. And Frank caps the scene off with, I'm good. Let's go get us some slaves.
Awful.
JT, were you surprised it went to slavery this quickly?
No, because I think we've established that Frank has a very old school view of how the world works based on the last episode with the Mexicans at the house. So I think it didn't catch me off guard at all. Plus, I know where the show goes. Maybe watching this for the first time, I'd be a little surprised, but that's a very Frank thing to say. So
do they just not understand the program? Do they think that the people are paid nothing?
It seems that way, right? But what is this? Is the government? They're paid something, but they're not paying it.
Yeah, they don't have to put up the money. The government is, but these people, it seems like they're operating under the assumption that they are getting people.
Right.
No money's being exchanged at all.
Right, and that these people have to do whatever they tell them to.
Right. So we cut to this building, and Mac and Charlie are entering the government office, and Charlie hears the aforementioned conversation, Josh, where Charlie's explaining that slave is not a racist term. And then Mac is like shushing him, but clearly staring at a black guy the whole time to make sure he doesn't hear. And Charlie makes this is the argument about everyone was a slave. And then Mac talks about it's a sensitive issue in this country. But right after he says it's a sensitive issue in this country, he goes, "What about that one?" And they walk over to a black guy sleeping. And Mac's putting over his massive thighs. Saying like his thighs are huge, and Charlie's like, "You're gonna have a problem with work ethic." And Mac is all over him. He's like, "That's racist." And right. Charlie's like, "No, he's asleep. He's asleep in the chair." And then they turn to like this fatter white guy, and they're like, "What about him?" And they talk about how it's reverse affirmative action. And they get into a discussion about how do we know he's not going to be a good slave. If you were picking someone to work. I'll go with JT. Who would you have picked between the two men chosen?
Probably the sleeping guy, because maybe he just worked so hard he fell asleep.
That's it. That's it. Great answer.
Plus, he's got the thick thighs. I'm all about that.
After the debacle with the pool table, they know they need someone with big thighs.
Yeah, they need some power. I also love that they call it the welfare store.
Yep. Yep.
Well, I also love that they just did the thing that they're going to do a lot where they're talking about whatever they want, but it's as if they exist outside of the world. Like that they're just like the narrators in a thing going in the world talking and as if no one hears them, which I'm totally okay with seeing that. I know that I've gone on record to be like, this isn't realistic, but like in this context, it works so perfectly because it's some of the best conversations you get on the show. Some of the funniest ones.
I'll be honest. I have conversations like that all the time.
But how do you pull it off?
Because I don't care. And I also don't say anything overly offensive, but I've also come to realize that no one is listening and no one wants to pay attention to you. I did an experiment once where I walked through a hardware store for a half hour and said hi to everyone. Just said hi. And I would say like 2% of people responded back.
Wow. So it's like you weren't real.
Yeah.
Maybe they saw you were Jack Black and they were afraid.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Mac is all now confused about this whole program. It's complicated and confusing. They go to sign up and we get an interaction with a government worker who again is an outsider, which is going to spell great stuff for them. Charlie's like, I don't know who, it's tough to tell who'd be good. Is there a Facebook that they could decide from? She hands them a massive manual to read. Charlie's like, is this the Facebook? And Mac asks, is there any way around this? They go to leave. They're going to give the book to Frank. And they run into Dennis and Dee. Dennis accuses them of stealing the welfare idea. And this is where Charlie hits. Let's all recognize this is an awkward situation between friends at the welfare store. Mac then says, welfare is reserved for people that need it. Josh, do you know anybody who abuses these systems?
I've definitely met a lot of people that have abused those systems. I mean, I don't think they're good people. You know, they're not people that I've chosen to be in contact with. But, you know, they're people that are people that I know or like a friend of a family member or someone, a friend's family member. And they're just, it's always so like, because you hear conversations, them talking about it plainly, like about the concept of basically lying to the government to keep getting your welfare.
Right.
And it's like the, I'm so glad I heard them, these conversations, because it's like kind of like, is this for real? You know, like, is this real? Are these people just talking about this like it's not a big thing? You know, because it gives you like insight into the mind of people that would abuse it without having to watch It's Always Sunny. You know,
do you think those people are happy?
I think about this all the time. This is a big thing I think about constantly. No, I think that they're oblivious. But a lot of times people that are doing that, they're also like abusing substances as a part of their life. And all of that has to do with the fact that deep down, they're not happy or satisfied or insecure about something.
Yeah, there's probably something in, like, I guess, do you think people need purpose?
Oof. They need money.
Pass.
This is the question you pass on?
Well, because I would have, like, again, I don't really think about whether or not people need purpose. It's just that, what does it take to make someone truly happy? And I think that's just getting enjoyment out of the little things in life, which I think that the people on welfare that are abusing it could get if they weren't also abusing drugs, because then they wouldn't, they would actually be saving their money and get out of welfare, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I often think about the purpose thing. Like, I mean, there's a reason why so many people retire and then die.
Probably because they don't retire until they're like 80 here, so
they're just born burned down. Well, Mac is like, you have to have certain qualifications to go on welfare, and Dennis is like, we have it covered. D, your bicycle helmet. D goes, she puts on the helmet and goes, later, boners. Dennis then steps up to the woman at the counter and goes, hello, I'm a recovering crackhead. This is my retarded sister who I take care of. I'd like some welfare, please.
This whole scene is just an all-timer.
Yeah, and Dee is just playing with everything at the cubicle. The woman is also questioning everything. JT, describe the woman's reaction to what is happening before her.
Exhausted. She's exhausted by it. It's not the first time she's dealt with it. She's clearly a veteran of this game. Knows it's a bunch of bullshit. Knows it's just two entitled people with no issues that are just trying to juice the system like we just talked about, and she wants no part of it.
You're a recovering crack addict. and of course, because she's exhausted, she tells them, she's just like, just fill it. They need to get the medical paperwork. She needs a physician's report on both of their cases. And Dennis then says, can't you see how retarded she is? The woman is appalled. Then we cut them walking on the street, lamenting that they can't prove that she's retarded. They're mad about this and they need that welfare. They've had a taste of their dreams. Josh, if you were given the ability not to work, would you not work?
Well, I would work on creative things on my own, you know? So that would basically be my dream. I'd do art. I would write, you know, and hope to be able to contribute to society in other ways beyond whatever people, whatever I sell my labor for now.
What would you write?
Short stories, novels, I've things of that nature.
Well, why aren't you doing that now?
Well, I am, but now I got to fit it in between all the times that I got to sell my labor, you know?
Right. JT, given the chance, you working or not?
Am I like screwing the system or am I just coming into money?
You don't have to work anymore.
Yeah, I'd be fine with not working. Yeah, but I would do like Josh had. You know, I'd add to my 45 fucking podcasts, I guess.
Do an all-time Survivor series, watching each person in it. I'd be gone. If I won the lottery, I'd be gone. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, you'd probably, we're friends, so you'd hear me, but like no one would ever see me work again. I'd be out of here. D can't go back, though, because she's seen a taste of her dreams. She goes, I need to get to Broadway, and welfare is the key. Now, we laugh at that. We laugh at that. So I work at the sometimes I train border guards. Like, I think I've told you guys this before. I train border guards to do scenarios with them. And the actors there, I have heard the actors say, we're actors. We need a universal basic income. And I just always find that that's such a fucking, like, maybe you should make your acting worth money rather than make every, doesn't that just prove that you're what you're doing is of no value to society right now?
It's true. Yeah, no, because I've heard, I know a lot of artists, friends, you know, I've heard the same thing. And it's like, they, you know, it's, you want the freedom to be able to do it, but like, you don't want to accept that you, that the society you live in is a capitalist society, and you, everything's got to have value, you know?
Right. Well, and there is always room to do it. It's just, you balance your time and sacrifice certain things to get others.
That is beyond true. But yeah, that's why I always wonder, how do you guys do it? You guys are doing podcasts all the time. I mean, obviously things are different right now.
My business was destroyed.
Right. But prior to your business being destroyed, you know, you gents, you guys are always churning out some podcasts. Whereas I feel like when I was doing one, I was losing my mind, you know? So like, how do you guys balance it so that you don't have to go on welfare like Dee and Dennis?
I don't know. I'm just really good at multitasking.
I guess so.
Hustling. So it's kind of been my thing. Josh, you know me for a long time.
That's true. I'm in awe every single time because I'm like, Jesus. I'm like, so you don't just walk around the house for an hour just thinking? Well, crazy.
If I'm not doing something to forward something, I feel like I'm wasting time.
From the age of 22 to 32, I worked like three jobs. Like, because I was trying to build a theater company, but also having to support. That's why I have no sympathy for artists that rely solely on grants or say it's impossible or people who think, oh, I'm an actor, I deserve a universal basic income, is because I built something, you know, by just working right at it and, you know, not making money for 10 years at one job, but sticking with it while working other jobs. So now, like, because I did that, I feel like I always have tons of free time. And I know that's kind of crazy, but it's like, you know, once my kids go to bed, I don't have to go do another job, so I can sit down and watch some Royal Rumbles or something, you know? Take notes on Sonny.
Ah, very interesting. So work hard, and then I don't have to work hard later.
Yeah. Or if you really want something, just fucking do it. Like, if you want to put on a show, I mean, look, mine is a weird kind of niche, right? But it's like, you should never expect anyone else to give you the job you want. You can do it, and you can sacrifice to do it. And if you're not good, then reality might set in, and maybe you're not good enough to do it. Right? Maybe the government will fucking quarantine and destroy you. No, but like,
but
what I mean is that, like, no one owes you anything. Anyway, I don't know. Fuck, man.
Well, guys, this is my last podcast I'm doing because, you know what? Why am I wasting my time? I need to be going for my dreams. So
you got some thinking to do. You're gonna go walk around.
Get Jeff in here.
So all this to say, Dennis and Dee are gonna play rough to get on this welfare. Let's go get some crack. They cut to a rough neighborhood. And as they're in a rough neighborhood sitting in the car, they've got a blood work appointment set for Friday at 3 p.m. And they talk about, we're just going to take a little crack just to get settled in, you know? A large man appears at their window and scares the shit out of him,
mm-hmm.
out of them. And they talk, they start telling him, look, we're not scared of you because you're black. And it becomes this long diatribe about why they're scared. He just wants them to roll the window down.
Yeah, he just wants to get to business and get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. Dennis rolls the window down like an inch. He's like, what do you need? Dennis goes, one please. One what? One crack rock? Is that enough? They then ask what would be appropriate. And he offers them a special 2-for-1. And they think it's so nice. And he goes, they go, how much? And he goes, $200? With such hope. Dennis is like, that sounds reasonable. And then they thank him for being so kind and so patient. Okay, I mean, JT, I'll ask you, but Josh too, I've never bought drugs. Is this how it is?
Well, I think the drug dealer realized they were marks and became nice because he knew he could juice them if they're nice versus trying to if he was an asshole, they might not, you know, they might get freaked out and get out of there. So he's just trying to make a profit. So, he, you know, if he comes across, he's a pro, right? He's a pro salesman. So he read the situation, understood the deal, and took advantage. Also, I believe Dennis said one rock of crack.
Yeah.
One rock of crack.
One rock of crack. But is it this shady?
See, I don't know because I've never bought these drugs. You know, like for me, it's just the normal stuff that's legal and you can buy in the store now, you know, that kind of drugs, you know. So that was always you just went over a person's house and hoped that you could leave soon, kind of like Pineapple Express, you know. It's more like that than like this situation. But from watching The Wire, which apparently Dennis indeed didn't do, which is, I don't think, on character for them, because I think like Dennis is the type of person to say that he, or at least try to watch a show that's supposed to be considered like important or something like that, you know, just to be that stuck up guy. Yeah, they like it is this shady.
I feel like Dennis would pretend.
What happened to all the people that were supposed to just give you drugs? When I was a kid, we had to do DARE and everything because they said, you know, people are going to offer you drugs.
Everywhere
you
go.
You're going to say no. No one's giving up drugs. That's like all the stuff where people say they're going to put drugs in the Halloween candy. Well, no one's giving free drugs away.
No, I have never been offered drugs.
No, never.
I mean, I have friends, you know what I mean? Like, but not like, no one has ever randomly come up to me and said, take this fucking heroin. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, man, you want some heroin, dude?
Yeah.
This felt very Woody Allen, this whole thing that went on. Do you guys get that?
Was there an underage girl in there?
No. I mean, just like the way that they interacted with the drug dealer. Like, it just felt very much like it would have been like this section of the show is written by Woody Allen.
Is there a soft J Jew in there?
What is Howerton? No.
It's possible. Yeah. We cut to the bar. Frank is already ordering around the work for welfare people. He's like, take care of the bathroom, then come to me because I have some boots to be shined. Immediate abuse right away. Charlie is going to take advantage of this and play video games until his eyes bleed. Frank wants to play too. And then he's like, we could go outside and throw the pigskin around, play some two-hand touch. Mac lies terribly to get he and Charlie in the bathroom to talk without Frank. Someone popping a popping bag.
I think it's a crack rock.
No, I was just a little bit of tissue. It was very loud tissue. It was made of aluminum.
You blow your nose with aluminum? It's like an absorb shit. Look, they're mad because Frank wants to hang out with them. Charlie starts pissing in the urinal right next to where Maria is cleaning.
Oh, this was amazing. She's on her knees cleaning.
Yeah.
And he just walks up to the urinal next to her and just starts pissing. And so she's like, basically just like eye level with him.
Yeah, and she's like, do you want me to leave? And he's like, no, it's fine. Josh, how do we feel about genderless bathrooms?
I think I've had to deal with them once. I'm okay with them for number one, but there's something about going number two and knowing that a girl is just going to have to, like, you know. Like, are we talking a genderless bathroom with multiple stalls and urinals, or are we talking, like the genderless bathrooms, like, just single occupancy?
Well, single occupancy doesn't change anything. I'm talking about like multiple stalls. You come out taking a shit. There's a hot chick there. Like,
yeah. See, I mean, obviously, for me as a cis hetero, sorry, I'm not that woke. But that was for the jokey purposes. yeah, for me as a guy that like wants to like impress women and like, you know, get that kind of thing, yeah, I have a problem with them because it exposes, that's where am I going to go to do the stuff that I don't want them to see?
Why are you ashamed of what you're doing?
You know, when you're taking the upskirt pics under there. No, I'm just kidding. And you're going to look at them later.
JT, why doesn't Maria just leave?
She doesn't want to get fired. This job means a lot to her and she's just doing her job.
The work for welfare?
Plus, if she moves, like, things could get weirder. I think she's just hoping it ends. But Charlie pees for a long time.
Yeah. And as he's peeing, he criticizes her sponge technique.
Yes.
I'm like, no, you got to get in there. Charlie offers to take Mac out on the town since he has money. And Mac wants to know why he wasn't made aware of this before. It has something to do with the VIG. They don't know what it means, but they feel they deserve the money. And then Charlie Splash flushes the urinal, and it just fucking blasts Maria in the face.
Poor thing.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. It's just the way she shakes her head. Do you think it's weird, though, that they talk about, like, Frank's scheme in front of her? Like, there's, like, they're putting full trust in her that she's not going to follow or care what they're talking about. Because Charlie's unveiling Frank's whole scheme of hiding the money in his account, that it's in his account and they could use it and all this other stuff.
Well, JT, you would know about this. That's how the Romans treated their slaves.
It's true.
Well, I think it's just they completely dehumanize them already. Like, that's where they've gotten to.
Exactly.
Like, you're not even a person.
It's like a dog in there with them. They don't even like recognize that they can understand what they're talking about.
Classic gang. When they get into something, they get into it like head first, like right away.
Yeah, they're balls out. They vow just to take a little cash and have a quiet night out. Cut to them in tuxedos with top hats, with a bunch of prostitutes, popping champagne. JT, is any of this a step too far?
I thought it was a little much. It felt a little goofy for what the show's been, honestly. I would have liked it more if they were just like at the strip club, like making it rain or something, you know, like drinking.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I felt like Dumb and Dumber or some shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it felt like a little too far, like with the tuxes and everything. Like, I don't know. Like, I know they're goofy and like they don't have money, so this is what they think probably being rich means. But I think there's ways to have blown that money without like having to get like schlocky about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't love the top hats. Josh,
or the tuxes. Even the tuxes to me are too much.
Yeah, yeah. I could have dealt with the limo, I think. The limo might have been...
Yeah, oh, yeah, the limo's fine, because that's what you think of, right? Oh, I got a bunch of money. I want to get driven around a limo. The tuxes and the top hats were kind of stupid.
Yeah, and why would you make yourself more uncomfortable?
Mm.
Well, I think exactly like you said, it's just like to them, this is like, this is fancy. It's fancy to, I guess, rent a tux. I'm assuming they rented.
I don't know. They might have bought them.
Everything in that limo, including the limo, was rented.
We cut to Dee's apartment. An alarm is going off. Dennis and Dee both wake up super fucking cold.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, it's 4:00. Dennis is like, I'm freezing and sweating at the same time. Dee's Peter pants. And they find that they've missed their doctor's appointment by a day and an hour.
Right. At first, he's like, it's 4:00. Oh, we're just an hour late. It's okay.
Yeah.
They're like, no, it was yesterday, 4:00. We missed it by an hour and a day.
They slept for a whole fucking day. Dennis is like, I don't want to feel like this anymore. And Dee's like, look, if I make a phone call right now, we might be able to make another appointment. Dennis is like, you think he'll see us on such short notice? On first viewing, did this trick you?
Yeah, I thought it was a good job. Like, I wasn't really expecting to go back to the drug dealer. So even this viewing, I mean, this is probably the second time I've seen the episode. And yeah, I fell for it.
Is this a brilliant setup, Josh?
I think it is. But at the same time, I mean, this is kind of what happens when people do crack cocaine. You know, like there was a famous story by, I heard Danny Bonaducci say, if anybody knows who that is anymore, he was in the Partridge Family and then reality television. But I heard him say the first time he ever did crack cocaine, basically the moment they smoked it and they were done, they were like, man, do you think we could sell my car and get some more of that? So like, it seems like that's what happens for people when they do that drug, is that they immediately are like, well, that's it. You know, I want more. And not even like heroin, where they're like, oh, I have to get more. You know, my body, I'm going to be physically ill. You know, it's like, I just want more of it.
It's not a depressive, like, I'm addicted to this. It's I want this.
Right.
Well, we go right back to the drug dealer and they're like, thanks for seeing us on such short notice. He's like, that's what I do, baby. He's like, he knows he's going to fuck them again. We cut to Dee on a wall outside, rummaging through some headshots. Dennis is sleeping in an alley next to a dog. And when he realizes the dog's there, he kind of kicks at it and calls it a piece of shit. JT, do either of you guys laugh as much as I do when someone verbally abuses animals?
Maybe not dogs. Cats I'd be okay with. But I did like this line, because Dennis saying he's going to be a veterinarian and then kicking the dog and calling it a piece of shit was amazing. And it's a tiny detail you may not catch if you're not really watching, you know. Yeah. But it was so well done, just like, and it's such a stupid dream that he has. Like, that's his big dream.
Yeah, it has nothing to do. Should be a veterinarian. Yeah, nothing to, like, he's never mentioned, like, at least Dee's dream has been consistent, right?
Right, right. This is out of nowhere. And he's like, yeah, I'd be a veterinarian. Get out of here, piece of shit.
Piece of shit. Dennis then eats something that was in his hand. We don't know what it is. Mac and Charlie drive by in their limo. They see Dennis and Dee. Dennis and Dee come over to the car like fucking rats. They're super creepy. They're like, you guys holding? You got any money? Charlie and Mac just close the window, back to the party. Josh, is this justice?
Yeah, I guess it is. I mean, I guess it is, only because of how awful Dennis and Dee were about it, you know, with the wah, wah, and all of that. So when you go that far, there's it's kind of hard not to see this as some sort of justice, or it's just people having a shitty time and I should feel bad about it, but I'd rather laugh.
Yeah, I'm good laughing at these guys. We come back to the bar. Frank is coming back in from outside with his employees. The guy is limping. Frank is telling him off for being such a Nancy boy. Clearly they were playing two-hand touch in the street. I guess he wanted to get that father figure stuff out. Frank wants them to drink with him. They don't drink. So Frank is like, you guys are downers. He wants to know how they ended up on welfare. And Maria starts to explain it. But Frank doesn't want to hear it. He gets a phone call asking for Charlie Kelly. And this is where Frank discovers that there's been some activity on his account. We cut to Charlie and Mac.
By the way, I just love how he says it to the, you work hard, you don't drink. What's wrong with you?
But it's funny because he was probably like that before.
Like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Like he for sure, that's how he became. He didn't become like a successful being him, right? Sleeping in fucking couches and getting sewn into shit.
That's the whole Frank story that ends up being, right? Like that he suppressed this side of him for years and years to live hoity-toity with the wife and everything else. And it's all this, it's like a Catholic kid going to college, right? I mean, he's just like, it's all coming out now that he's on his own.
Do you think everyone in his family made him like this?
Have you seen his children? Have you seen his wife?
Well, that's it, right? Like, like if he put in all this time to like be nice and calm and this was the result, like why wouldn't you go the complete opposite way?
I take it that he was like this before that and then kind of reformed and now it's coming back out. Because I feel like there's times later where he says like this is how he lived before everything.
Now, well, he said it in the crippled episode.
Right, yeah.
Like, he's like, I used to live like this, Charlie, and Phil.
Well, we do get a prequel of him down the line, so.
All right.
We'll see if that explains anything. We cut to Charlie and Mac in an ATM with the girls waiting and... Max, like, the services have already been rendered. We have to get this. The girls want to know if there's a problem. They threaten to call Hector and Wallace. And Mac is like, we shouldn't be calling Hector or Wallace or any large pimp. JT, would you say that Hector or Wallace have easy jobs?
No, I don't think so. Because you don't know if you're going to show up and Mac has a gun, you know?
Right. Probably not easy.
There's also a Geno's Steaks sighting on this scene here in the background.
I noticed that.
Yes. Is that an actual Philadelphia thing?
Yeah, it's one of the big two, right? It's Pat's and Geno's are the two big cheesesteak places.
I was trying to figure out because Pat's is like right near it, but I don't know the layout. So it's like, were they filming in front of, technically in front of Pat's, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how close they are.
Yeah.
I've been to Jim's and then Tony Luke's. So Tony Luke's my favorite.
I feel like they're always filming around where the ECW arena was. Like this weird warehouse district.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it's too far from there. I mean, Tony Luke's is like right near the ECW arena if they ever end up there. But I don't think Geno's is too close. It's like a little more downtown. But.
So Mac and Charlie run away. Dennis and Dee are walking down the street saying they're just going to work for a little until they can get more money to buy crack, which goes to like what you were saying about needing to sell your car. They're now just working to have crack. They run into Charlie and Mac. They tell them they need money to buy crack. And Charlie and Mac start hammering them the way they got hammered. Oh, did you get addicted to crack? Oh,
justice. Frank,
that's justice. Mm-hmm. Frank comes out and is like, children, what's all the fighting about? Let's go in and settle this like a family. He also announces the slaves are gone. He says they don't drink and they're bringing me down. Frank announces changes. Dennis and Dee will do Charlie work. Then he goes, Charlie, you have a lot of balls stealing my money. This shows leadership. That's why I'm promoting you to manager. And Charlie goes, that's why I did it. Mac then tries to jump in and say, that's why I did it too, Frank. But he gets dick because he's a follower and a thief. And Dennis goes, why would you do this to his dad? And Frank replies, because you are crackheads, children. Mm-hmm. How do we think they dealt with the drug addiction government programs scenario?
I think it was accurate and maybe prophetic too, a little bit, especially the welfare part, making more money than they were. Obviously, too many people aren't probably purposely getting addicted to crack to get the welfare, but I thought they actually did a pretty decent representation of how something like that could occur.
Yeah, I think it's important that what you had said, Aaron, of when Maria, that was her name, right, went to go explain how she got on welfare. And the answer is for systemic. When you try to talk about systemic poverty and how it works, it's actually very complicated and intermeshed with so much in society that no one wants to listen to it. And it's easier to just reduce it to welfare and crackheads, which is pretty much what the episode did. I don't know if that's all of that was planned to read like that. I kind of think it is based on how good the writing has been this season. But I think they dealt with it simplified, but well for them, in that they hit all the points they needed to hit, and they kind of left things up for interpretation.
Any crimes committed?
Welfare abuse, drug dealing, drug usage, and dog abuse, I guess, pet abuse.
Fraud? Would fraud count?
Yep.
Is prostitution legal in Philadelphia?
Not at this point, I don't think. No.
Okay.
Is it legal now?
No. Someday. Well,
were you reaching back to the past?
Someday. Someone listens to this in 10 years, or maybe.
Who's the least virtuous person in this scenario?
I went D, Dennis, Charlie, and Mac. All four of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the same. They're all doing the same thing, but just it's manifesting differently.
See, I went Charlie as least virtuous because of the theft.
Yeah, but was it really theft?
Yes.
Frank put his money in Charlie's account. To me, that's finders keepers kind of deal. You know what I mean? Like they didn't have a signed contract. You know, it's like if you say I'm gonna put $100,000 in your account, I'm gonna say, well, you should have come up with a better plan.
Well, see, I think how do you have Dennis and Dee as least virtuous?
Because they're trying to game the whole system and take advantage of a program meant for people that are actually struggling, and they're blatantly doing it.
But they did have to leave their jobs because they didn't want to work for their father.
They could have went and got other jobs, which they don't even try to do.
Well, when they found out how much they'd be making.
Unemployment's fine, but the fact that they then still continued enough to look for a job and then manufacture ways to take advantage of welfare.
Wait, how long does this episode take place over?
I know. They make it like, I mean, unemployment should last months at least. They don't make it seem that way, though.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that, how like they really squished the time into like a week when it should have been 4 months, basically.
Right.
But that's the wait. What? Yeah, you're right. Unemployment runs out in a few months. But like I was like, well, they were still technically on unemployment when they got addicted to crack, right?
Well, they made it seem because Mac or whatever says it's going to run out. And then they make it like it ran out. Not that they were proactively preparing for when it runs out.
That's true. Okay, yeah. See, that's the sloppy part.
Kevin, who's the most virtuous?
Mac. And the drug dealer.
I guess. The lady at the welfare store.
And Maria.
Maria. Well, not the man?
And Pepitone. That's who played the guy, the man.
Joe Pepitone?
No, his name's Eddie Pepitone. He's a comedian.
Okay, who's the most abused?
The welfare system. And Frank's feelings is they'll do anything they want to not have to hang out with this poor guy.
At least they lie to get away from him. Mm-hmm. You guys have no sympathy for Dennis and Dee's addiction, eh?
No, it's brought upon themselves. They did it to scam.
They it's not like they got addicted because they were out partying and then like somebody, you know, was like, hey, do this drug too. And, you know, which is like how a lot of people get addicted. They just kind of end up doing a drug that they shouldn't do and they become addicted. They tried to get a, they tried to do the drug to scam the system.
Well, they were going to just do it once and then they were victims of the drug.
You're making a good argument, but it's hard to sympathize with these crackhead children.
Okay, so for alliances, I have Dennis and Dee searching for welfare, Mac and Charlie spending money, Frank, Mac, and Charlie looking for slaves.
Yep.
Yeah, that's and it.
Who's got a cringy moment?
The Dennis single leg pant roll up. I'm good, go get us some slaves, and then Dennis and Dee buying the drugs.
Yeah, I've already made it very clear with my cringe moment. Yeah, right.
Mine is the top hats because I thought it was a bit too much. What gave you your biggest laugh?
Just a friend. I'm a recovering crackhead, and this is my retarded sister. Give me some welfare, please. And Charlie flushing the toilet in Maria's face.
Yeah, I would have to say it was definitely like I would say. As I said before, too, the way that Mac and the whole welfare store, like that time that we were at the welfare store, because it was also Mac and Charlie, like them walking through and just talking about the people, judging them up as how good of slaves they would be. I thought that was pretty funny.
Nice. Any seeds?
I have Charlie mentioning Facebook before Facebook was a thing. I know he was talking about like the Facebook you'd get in college. But if you weren't really aware of that and we're watching this now, you may think he meant actual Facebook. So it's kind of prescient in a way.
Well, wait. It came out after Facebook was invented, though.
Yeah, but he wouldn't because he made it like an actual Facebook because he meant like a book. Okay. So in college, you'd get like – I mean, I went to college in 1998 and I got a Facebook. It was just like a book of everyone in your class with their names and pictures and – room number or whatever.
Oh, that's so funny. I had no clue. I thought he would that. I thought that was him misunderstanding what Facebook was.
Yeah, and no, I don't think so. I don't think Facebook is well known enough by this point. I think it had come out like 2005. It was mainly college campuses and stuff. But
right in 2006, you still had to have a college email to have Facebook.
Right.
Oh, interesting. Any tropes?
D's acting career, or failed acting career. Mac being fake strong. Dennis and D mock crying to humiliate Mac. Charlie being stupid. The gang always doing absurd schemes instead of just putting the work in and just getting shit done. They always trying to scheme their way through instead.
We missed a seed, and I don't know if I can say it because of spoiler, but the whole Charlie being like, I don't want a father figure, Frank.
No. Mm. Yes.
You know? Enough said.
Definitely a big seed.
Yeah.
All right. What are the appearances, JT?
All right. Appearances are none. We had no one new that was worth noting. I mean, there was, I guess I'll put the drug dealer down. He was big enough in the scene, I guess.
What about Maria and the other guy?
Oh, yeah. All right. Maria. Did we catch his name? Or should I just put
Pepitone.
What
about the lady at the welfare store?
I don't know. You think she was in enough?
Well, last time you put the lawyer.
All right.
It's true.
I clearly just forgot to do this while I was watching.
All right, let's rank this and get out of here.
All right. I had this as my favorite episode to date by far. My previous high was 7.5 in our last episode, and I had this at 8.75, which destroys the previous high and easily puts it as the best episode to date. I thought it was tremendous. A lot of laughs, a lot of big moments, toeing the line as usual. I thought it was a really, really well done episode.
I'm with you. I'm at 8.5. My previous high was 7.5. I thought this was the first truly great episode. Mm-hmm. And it's still one that, like, when I think back on my favorite episodes, even after watching the whole series, this is one. It doesn't come to mind as number one anymore, but it's in the conversation probably for top 10.
I totally agree with Aaron, everything you said. Actually, when JT had texted me when he was watching it, I was like, I forgot how great this is. And once I watched it, I'm like, oh, this is probably one of my favorite episodes. Like, it's probably top 10. again, the right day, it probably would be like, it could make top five if I'm forgetting a bunch of other episodes.
And it smashes
8.5.
And it smashes the total score. So this is our new best at 25.75 total. Our previous high was 22.5 last week. So we've really set the standard now for what our top episode would be going forward.
Wow, we should have like a little sound effect that goes off that when we like have a new number one, like it rings. Yeah.
We need that bell.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too far ahead, right? But like, it's hard to rank. I always have trouble with the number rankings, right? But like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking of my all-time favorites, and it's like, it's just a bit, it's a ways away from them, but it feels far away from what we've seen up to this point.
Yeah, they're 100%. Like, I would say through a couple of, I think this is an all-time classic episode, and one that when I think of the show, I think of it. This is one of the episodes that flashes in my head at the moment you say "It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia."
Mm-hmm. It's those two on the stoop with just a friend blasting.
Yeah, and it's the crack stuff too.
Yeah,
them walking around. You're crackheads, children. That line is one that I always remember.
Well, and the whole brilliance of the scheme. Like, we need to get on welfare. Okay, we're like, how far they end up taking it. Like, a regular show will have kind of like a weird, like, oh, you know, they'll try to scam the government. No, these guys are going to go do crack and then feel the consequence of it.
Which I'm glad they did. I'm glad that was a part of, like, them getting hooked on crack immediately and having to become crackheads. Like, obviously, that's the point of, you know, that's the fun part of the episode. But like, that's what makes something like this better when it comes to satire, is like they're actually having the consequences, even when the show's ridiculous. Like, they're, well, this is what happens, you know.
Yeah.
Splendid, smashing.
That'll do it. Be sure to check out everything else we got going on here at the North-South Connection. Wrestling, pop culture, comics, sports. Each and every day we have some new stuff coming in 2021 here that's already started dropping. Hopefully you enjoy. Continue to leave all positive feedback and reviews and ratings. As January started, we passed 50,000 downloads all time on the feed, which started a year ago. We're coming up on our one-year anniversary, actually, too, Aaron, which is exciting. And this show here drops every other week, so we'll be back in 2 weeks' time here on Friday to talk about episode 11 all time. It'll be our, fourth in season two? So looking forward to that. The show is really cranking along. It's been a great time so far. Looking forward to really getting into the show developing even further. So Aaron's at Aaron Z George on Twitter. I'm at JT the Pod Guy. We'll talk in 2 weeks. Everyone stay sunny.
Goodbye. Now I'm jacking off, and I know why.
Turn the shit off.
Yeah, hey, no, because I got high.
Hey,
because I got high.
Hey, do that over,
because
man.
Because I got high.
Come on, man. Don't,
go,
come on.
Go, go. I messed up my entire life because I got high.
Go.
I lost my kids and wife because I got high.
Say what?
Now I'm sleeping on the sidewalk, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La 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 da da da. I'ma stop singing this song because I'm high.
Present tense,
baby. I'm singing this whole thing wrong because I'm high.
Bring it back.
And if I don't sell one copy, I'll know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I'm high. Cause I'm high.
Are you really high though, man? He really is high, man.
Shoop, shoop, shooby doo ah.
Get jiggy with it. Skippity bebop. Oh, bring it back.
Say what? Cause I'm high. Because I'm high.
What a cluck at,
cuz. Well, my name is Afro Man, and I'm from East Palmdale. And all the tumbleweed I be smoking is bomb as hell, yeah.
Excellent delivery.
I don't believe in Hitler, that's what I said.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, so all of you skins, please give me more head. Afro motherfucker, M-A-N.
M-A-N.
Yeah.
sell none of these motherfucking albums, cuz. Let's go back to Marsha Durbin and hang some more chickens, cuz. Fuck it. Fuck the corporate world. Biah!